at the beginning of the song, she's saying whiskey neat, not a skinny, in the beginning of the song. And now that's all we can hear, disappointingly. We are vastly disappointed that the line is not a skinny. It's the Yearbook Podcast. You can subscribe, listen to us on iTunes, or contact us all at the same time. I guess that'd be and contact us. It says in the yearbook at hotmail.com, the full title of the podcast. When Coastal Carolina University's football team arrived in Amherst, Massachusetts, Western Massachusetts, to play UMass last weekend, the Chanticleers, Coastal's nickname, it's a rooster, had survived hell and high water just to get there. When Hurricane Florence approached the Atlantic coast last month, it approached Coastal, not far from Myrtle Beach in Conway, South Carolina. The football team evacuated, and a spokesman says morale was good. The players understood what was happening and why they had to leave. But first came a home game that was changed to a road game because of the approaching storm, and that was moved up 3 days because of the approaching storm, meaning the Shants played and won two games in just under 94 hours, which is not healthy. The team then left for a temporary home in North Florida, bringing nearly 200 people in a 5-bus caravan with all of the pets. Something had to happen with the pets, with all of the pets and their owners together on one dedicated pet bus. Prior to the UMass game, an athletic department official said, of course, in September, the big concern was for the families back home in South Carolina and even North Carolina. Coastal would not be back on campus for 3 weeks. The school official says fatigue finally hit the players themselves in the second half of their very last road game on September 29th against Troy, the same outfit that upset Nebraska. He says after being away from campus, classes, homes, locker room, the cafeterias for so long, with Troy winning in the second half, the mental and emotional fatigue set in big time on the Coastal side. Back at the campus, an official there said no damage other than down trees, but with roads closed, students, professors, and staff couldn't get there, and neither could food and other supplies needed to run the school. The football team finally played another home game and lost in a rout on October 13th. But those two wins in just 94 hours, plus a win on the road, ironically, against Louisiana, which itself had played a road game immediately after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, meant the Chanticleer season was still alive at 3-3. And so came the game at UMass, a game both teams thought was winnable. Connecticut has a big Coastal Carolina presence, and I'm not talking about in some parking lot. Carolina schools like Clemson and South Carolina have become somewhat common choices for Connecticut students, and as you drive through Connecticut, there are a lot of Chanticleer shirts and also stickers on the cars. The Chanticleers themselves arrived at UMass not too far over the Connecticut border, under 3 hours from New York and under 2 hours from Boston. The Coastal football team didn't quit when they could have, kept their season alive when they didn't have to. Not to trivialize a tragedy in any way, shape, or form, but this to us was a really compelling story. And Coastal arrived with a celebrity coach, Joe Moglia. Moglia wasn't making any money coaching in the 80s, so he left for the world of high finance. So this is true. Wound up the CEO of TD Ameritrade, and well worth a fortune, got back into coaching as a volunteer because he missed it at age 60. He became the Shants head coach in 2012. But that hasn't stopped him at age 69 from doing things like guest hosting the CNBC business show Squawk Box, which he did back in July just before the season, representing Coastal but talking business. Now, the national media did not share our unbridled enthusiasm for Coastal's story. With the team playing in the Northeast, where the media lives, we actually expected a lot of national names, CBS, NBC, USA Today, The New York Times, etc., to be at the game. We expected a spiked media presence. UMass's McGurk Alumni Stadium is just 2 hours and 49 minutes by van, for example, from, say, CBS headquarters. None of that happened. Two NFL scouts were credentialed from the game, but no national outlets were there, at least not that we saw. Who were the scouts there to see? The guess is multiple players on both teams, but we'll never know because when it comes to the NFL draft, as someone once said, everybody lies. And why wouldn't they? I mean, no one wants to give away secrets, although sometimes the scouts, when they're scouting, wear team gear. I figured they'd want to remain somewhat anonymous. Speaking of team gear, Massachusetts absolutely has World Series fever, but there wasn't as much Red Sox gear as you'd think around UMass's stadium. A pretty woman in a wheelchair had the day's best Red Sox gear. It was a shirt with a huge Red Sox logo. Anyway, the NFL draft. Every spring, surefire first rounders become third or fourth round picks. Projected third rounders go undrafted, as do definite late round draft choices. So everybody lies. But in addition to Coastal Carolina and their business tycoon, hey, that's that guy from CNBC, Coach. Another of the game's draws was UMass senior receiver Andy Isabella. A possible draft choice? Who knows? Everybody lies. But the UMass radio team called him unguardable, and the Athletic Communications Office says Isabella posted the fastest 60-yard dash time in the nation when he was in high school. It'd be interesting to see who the true fastest players are in college football. They don't all play at the larger schools, but the truest test probably is which ones make the better pros. And Isabella, at only 5'10", has been dominant against many levels of competition over his career. He got himself 174 yards against the Chanticleers, but Coastal Carolina won the game to put themselves at 4-3 with five games remaining. Those five games for Coastal will all be played in South Carolina and Point South, and all will be streamed rather than broadcast nationally. That is the perfect recipe for finishing out the season in anonymity, a fate the Chanticleers are way too resilient to deserve.